I was in a coma for 6 weeks while the doctors told my wife I was going to die. When I woke up, she told me the most fantastic story. My team kept running the business without me. Freelancers reached out to my team and said, "We will do whatever it takes as long as Craig's in the hospital." I consider that the greatest accomplishment in my career. My name is Craig Andrews, and this is the Leaders and Legacies podcast, where we talk to leaders creating an impact beyond themselves. At the end of today's interview, I'll tell you how you can be the next leader featured on this show. Today, I want to welcome Wendy Pace. Wendy left corporate America and started Pace Setting Media when she realized she needed to be a caretaker at home. And so many people face that challenge. And Wendy took it on and started her own business by doing that. And her passion is to enable other caretakers to be able to have a career at home to take care of their loved ones, but also provide an income. And at the core of Pace Setting Media Services is a comprehensive suite ranging from content writing and blogs to direct mail marketing, email blasts. SMM stands as the bread and butter, while Wendy also dabbles in website design. Pace Setting Media doesn't just provide services, it takes responsibility of marketing off business owners' shoulders. What an incredible relief for business owners. And it allows them to focus on growing their enterprise. So I'm looking forward to today's conversation because I think Wendy has an important mission. I hope you listen in. Wendy, welcome.
Thank you.
So, yeah, when we were talking, one of the first things that you said was that your passion is helping other people help other caretakers have a career that works within their responsibilities. What makes this such a passion for you?
When I always wanted to be an entrepreneur, but I just never knew what it was going to look like. But I also took the job of raising my family really as my main priority in life. So when my daughter was diagnosed with epilepsy at the age of 11, it kind of smacks a parent in the face. It's one of those, you don't realize what they can't do until you realize the danger that they're in because they were doing something like riding a bike. She couldn't ride a bike. She can't drive. She couldn't take a shower alone in the house because she had a seizure in the tub. She could drown. These are the things you don't think about when you're raised. You think you're raising this child of perfection, and she's still perfect in her imperfect way. But I realized that I had to be home to take care of her. It was my responsibility and my husband's responsibility, and not something that we could put off on our oldest child who was leaving for college. So the passion came that night when I was putting this website together and putting this business plan together, that I was like, this is it. This is my light bulb moment. This is where I'm like, there are other people out here who need to have the ability to do this. And once I get this up and running, my job is going to be to help other moms or dads stay home and care for your kids and still make a living. I have sat next to her bed in the hospital with my laptop, still working and still being mom.
How long ago did this happen?
She's 24 now. So, it was November 7th, 2011. We are now we're starting on year six, seizure free, thanks to the Mayo Clinic in Rochester.
Oh, that's so excellent.
It is. But now we're playing makeup, right? Because we've kept her in a bubble all these years. So there's a lot of life skills that need to be learned. She still can't drive because of medication. She could drive because she hasn't had seizures, but she can't drive because the medication that she's taking to control the seizures makes her response time too slow. So I'm still caretaker. I'm still driver. She is in college. She's doing amazing. But that's not the case for a lot of people with epilepsy. A lot of times they can't get the seizures under control. And so they're stuck home. This even, I'm sorry. My first assistant that I hired was a stay-at-home mom with epilepsy. She herself had epilepsy, has epilepsy. And I helped her get back into the workforce because she thought she couldn't do anything. And she came to work for me. She worked for me for 5 years. And now she's back in life. She's back doing life because somebody said, yeah, it's okay that you have epilepsy and you can work from home and you can work on your schedule. And when the medications keep you up at night, that's when you can work. I didn't care what time she did it, so long as it was there in the morning when I got up.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. And that, you know, that's just so incredibly gratifying to be able to give that to somebody, give the ability to manage their life and do productive work at the same time.
Yeah. So I have a team of three, and one is a stay-at-home mom who's a foster mom, and she takes in kids that other families don't take in that have high needs, and she's able to work from home, working for me, and still take care of the kids. Now, she had no desire to go and start her own social media management thing. She's content working for me. I had another mom in Pittsburgh who, well, she wasn't a mom. She was a caretaker for her husband. Unfortunately, he recently passed. But while she had to work from home, taking care of parents and a sick husband, she started her social media management company with me. And then she took off in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. You know, this hits home for me because, you know, in 2021, I went in the hospital with COVID, very bad case of COVID, and spent 3 months there. And I am convinced if it hadn't been for the fact that my wife insisted on visiting me in the hospital and was there as much as she was allowed to be, that I don't think I would have lived. And that's a whole different story, you know, but I heard her in my coma and that gave me hope. But she was really fortunate to have a company that when that happened said, hey, you take care of your husband. Why don't you work half time? We will pay you full time. And that was an amazing gift, but that was just a temporary gift. That wasn't an offer they were making. Now, they were shockingly generous.
Yes.
You know, they had her do that for from August. Well, basically, you know, they put me on the ventilator on August 22nd, and they gave her the rest of August off completely without charging her vacation time. And then from, you know, September, October, November, December, 4 months, they had her work half time while paying her full time. And that offer was going to come to an end. And so, you know, if things had gone a little bit differently and I'd needed more care, she would have had to figure out, you know, what to do, because the company wasn't going to continue to offer to do that.
Right. You shouldn't have to make a choice. And for a lot of people, there is no other choice but to make the choice, working or being at home caretaking, right? They don't have that option. I think the most powerful thing you can do is learn how to write your own paycheck. How do you create your own sustainability?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this is about. It's an empowering thing, but it's not just, oh, women power. No, because there are plenty of men who are home taking care of somebody. And a lot of them get overlooked. But it's about giving people a structure to take that leap of faith of starting something new.
Yeah. Yeah, let's talk about that for a few minutes, because You know, the reality is far more people work for someone else than work for themselves. And, and I think for good reasons. I think I can say my personal journey, you know, running a business has been hard. And
it's, you know, not still, easy.
Yeah, it still is hard. So one for you, what were some of your early lessons when you launched, you know, Pace Setting Media, things that you learned that are now, you know, have you a place of sustainability?
Harness your fear. I think a lot, and part of this was probably my upbringing. I had, you know, my boomer parents were like afraid of everything and, you know, stability, get a job, stay in that job, get your retirement watch and your benefits and you're good. So a lot of us are raised with fear, the fear of the unknown, the fear of independence, right? What if I fail? Well, then you get up and you try again. So the biggest lesson for me was having faith in myself, which I didn't at the beginning. Faked it till I made it. And I think it's a lot of people are just so afraid of the unknown and they're afraid of failure. But if you take that leap of faith, and I'm not overly religious, but I feel like the universe is there to go do it, you know, make that, take the step. Let's see what happens. What's the worst thing? You go back to work. You go back to working for somebody else. But at least you can say you tried.
Yeah.
So for me, it's living without regret. I didn't leave anything on the table. I put it all out there and I did my best.
Yeah.
And it far succeeded what I thought I was going to do. When I started Pace Setting Media, I was like, if I could just make $2,000, man, if I could just make $2,000 a month, oh my God, we'd be sitting pretty. We'd be all right. We'd be good. Solid. She'd go to dance class. We could do this. And then 6 months later, my now CFO is going, yeah, remember when you wanted to just make $2,000, right? You remember that?
Yeah.
What you making now? Shut up.
Yeah. Well, and there's this magical moment for me when some stranger out there finds me and says, hey, I'd like to pay you money to help me, you know, help me solve this problem. It's an amazing feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's one of the joys. I believe people that start businesses, you know, they see something broken in the world and they're trying to change that. They, I think that's often something. And for you, the brokenness was the traditional job didn't allow you to care for your daughter the way she needed to be cared for.
Right. That's exactly it. And that was the catalyst. I don't know that I would have had the fortitude to do it just to do it. Like, it was out of necessity that I did it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd always wanted to be an entrepreneur, but I was afraid. But this time I was like, well, I gotta stay home. So regardless, I'm home. I just have to make sure this I can make this work for me. And I did.
Yeah. Wow. So when we were talking earlier, you started talking really passionately about you're given a formula for other people to go and do the same, you know, to start their own thing. What is that formula? How would you recommend that people do that?
So first, I would love for them to reach out to me. Yeah. And I do this all the time, even if we don't work together, but I've given you the outline for what you need to do. I'm all about helping. I just am. I don't charge for it. I'm like, this is what you need to get. You need to get a scheduler. You need to find some kind of networking system where you're out of the house one day a week and you're being a grown up and you're doing your hair, getting out of your pajamas. Because that's just as important as the caretaking is when you're networking to and talking to people about something other than the care you're doing at home.
Yeah.
Sorry, my coworker is being aggressive.
Yeah. we have a coworker floating around here somewhere as well.
So what I try to do is I'm like, okay, figure out, first of all, what's your budget? There are scheduling programs out there that are free that you can use to get started, right? And they'll give you like maybe 5 accounts, 10 accounts. And most people are like, if I had 10 accounts, I would be, no, slow your roll. It's 10 social media accounts that they're allowing you to post on. So I try to give them that guideline. Then I try to explain to them, it's not going to happen in a vacuum. You have to get out of the house. You have to go to some kind of chamber or BNI networking or some kind of networking system, because that's where you're going to get your client. That's where you're going to get your first client. And then it's about organizing yourself and understanding that, set a schedule. So you know your caretaking, if you're up between midnight and 3 a.m. and that's the best time for you to create postings or do your work, this allows you to do it then. It's not a 9-to-5. You don't have to be at your desk on the phone 9 to 5 Monday through Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So it does allow for a lot of flexibility. But I know that there is a lot of people out there that they want somebody who's going to hold their hand through it and be like, yeah, you're doing it right. You're doing it right. Keep going. It's like when your kid learns to swim, right? No, keep pedaling or biking. Keep pedaling. You're doing great. That's where I come in. I'm like, nope, you're doing great. You're on the right path. Keep going. You can do this.
Mm. Yeah. And you said it's about getting your first clients.
It is about getting that first client.
And what have you found? Once you get that first client, what happens next?
For me, it was endorphins. I was like, yes. Other than the one that helped me get. So as I was telling you earlier, I had another friend in marketing who said she wanted to have a more robust social media for the company she was working for. And that was my first client. Understanding that that was the niche, that was the need, I then had to go out and find 5 more, right? So I gave myself the goal. I've got one. I know what they need. I need to find 5 more that need that same product. So the whole conversation was, where do I go to do that? And I went to my local chamber and I started networking there. And I went to a group called BNI, Business Networking International. It's the largest networking group in the world. And what it allows you to do is you buy a seat. Now, this is more expensive than the average person might want to put the money in. But if you can find a networking group where the whole purpose is to raise everybody up, it's not just a charade, five card Monty of how many business cards did you pass out, but actual connections being made, that's crucial.
Yeah. You know, and I think that's a good rule in life.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at tremendously successful people, there's somebody in the movie industry, and I forget which studio it was, but early in his days, he would get up and he'd spend the first hour of his day making phone calls, and they were real short calls, and each call was, he would call people he knew in the industry and he'd say, hey, what are you working on and how can I support you? Wasn't, hey, you know.
Yeah, I need your help.
Right. And he kept doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And the more he did that, the more his studio grew. And I forget which studio it is, but it's one of the major studios. And it was all born out of the idea of, today when I get up, I'm going to call, when I get into the office, I'm going to call 4 or 5 people, see what they're working on and how I can help. And then tomorrow I'm going to do the same thing. And the day after that, I'm going to do the same thing. And I think that's something essential to networking. I'll tell you, it's something I love about podcasting. You know, I meet so many wonderful people like you, and inevitably, I'm going to be talking to somebody next week or 2 weeks from now that needs exactly what you do. And it fills my heart with joy to be able to say, you need to reach out to Wendy. You know, Wendy has a passion for helping caretakers and moms have a career from home.
Yes.
You guys need to connect.
Giver's gain.
Giver's gain. I like that. So let's take a couple minutes and let's talk about pace setting media. What do you guys do? Who do you help?
So when I first started, my total lane was social media management. I put blinders on. That was all I wanted to do, was just manage businesses' social media. So that's their Facebook, their LinkedIn, Instagram, TikToks, YouTubes. And we create content and we curate content. Then we expanded to direct mail marketing, email blasts, newsletters, and ultimately website design, because people were like, no, I just want to give it all to you. And I'm like, I don't really want to do websites. So I have a network of vendors that I work with for websites, for printing, and all of them are part of my giver's gain list, right? They've thrown me business, I throw them business, their success is my success, and my success is their success. So they're all with that same mindset of, we're gonna help. What do you need? How can I help you? And that network is important for building pace setting media. So we went from just doing social media management, making pretty pictures and putting up witty content, to all of those other features. My whole thing is to make my client the answer to the question somebody's Googling to find them in as many different formats as I can do it.
Yeah. And, you know, and it's, and the beauty of that is when that doesn't require the recurring ad spend, you know, you're just out there, you're established, you know, as an authority, something that I've been talking about. And I, you know, like most great ideas, I got this from someone else. But basically, if you want to have sustainable growth, you need three things. You need authority, acquisition, automation. And it's that authority that you help build for people that when you go to the internet with a question, they're the one that has the answer.
Right.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. And understanding, so a lot of business owners will spend between 6 to 8 hours a week trying to do their social media. And they might get 2, maybe 3 posts up if they're lucky.
Yeah.
We post 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. We cover your holidays. Everything is branded and consistent. We manage your Facebook Messenger. I have been known to call clients on a Sunday night going, hey, you got somebody on Facebook who's looking for a quote. And they're like, Wendy, it's Sunday. I know, but you've got somebody on Facebook looking for a quote. Do not let that sit. Yeah. How would you like me to respond?
You know, and most people miss this. When you get a lead, the time to follow up is now. Stop what you're doing, follow up with that lead. I have some stats floating around somewhere from somebody that runs ads for me, a guy named Kevin Adams, very, very capable guy. And I forgot what the stat was, but if you follow up in the first 10 minutes of a lead coming through, the probability of that going to fruition is like 5 or 10 times greater than if you follow up in the next hour.
Yeah.
It's just the time to follow up from the time they become a lead to the time you follow up is so incredibly important. So when you do that for your clients, yeah, maybe it frustrates them, but it's one of those things that you're doing for their good, and hopefully they understand that.
Well, one of the things that I liked, there was a story, I had a pest control company, and I was leaving. It was a Labor Day weekend. So I'm in the car with my family heading out to the beach. And it's about, I want to say 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. And a lead comes in on his Facebook Messenger going, "We need a termite bond. We're closing on our house tomorrow." And I knew what that was worth to him. So I get him on the phone. I'm like, "Hey," he's like, "I thought you were leaving on vacation." "I am, but you've got a lead on your Facebook that you need to hit right now." And he got it. He got the bond. And I had just paid for myself for the whole year.
Wow. Wow. That's
and I was like, and there's your ROI.
Well, I tell you what, I can't think of a better place to end than there, because that is the most powerful thing. To be able to pinpoint one activity and that pays for the year of your fees, that's critical. That's where you're bringing value to people. So tell me, how can people reach you? Where do they go?
Well, I know this is going to be a big surprise, but I have a huge social footprint. So they can find me on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram. I'm everywhere. It's Wendy at paysettingmedia.com, or they can just, social media is the best way to get to me. LinkedIn is the best way to get me to respond.
Excellent. Well, I hope people reach out. And Wendy, thanks for coming on Leaders and Legacies.
Thanks for having me.
This is Craig Andrews. I want to thank you for listening to the Leaders and Legacies podcast. We're looking for leaders to share how they're making impact beyond themselves. If that's you, please go to alliesforme.com/guest and sign up there. If you got something out of this interview, we would love you to share this episode on social media. Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials. If you know someone who would be a great guest, tag them on social media and let them know about the show, including the hashtag Leaders and Legacies. I love seeing your posts and suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss anything, please go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show. And it means a lot to me. It means a lot to my team. If you want to know more, please go to alliesforme.com or follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.